There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the dynamic Joe Fordyce. We are live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. And Joe, some news this morning at the top for the Flyers. More change. It was announced by Comcast Spectacor that Dave Scott will be retiring. He is the chairman of Spectacor, which of course owns the Flyers, and he is governor of the Flyers. Dan Hilferty, who was brought on last month as CEO of Spectacor, will take over Dave Scott's responsibilities. So some change in ownership. Joe, when you saw the news, what were your initial impressions?
My initial impressions were when they announced that Dan Hilferty was coming on board, was a couple months ago now, it seemed like things were trending in this direction. I don't know how much it affects the overall everyday operations in terms of the product on the ice. I suspect not a ton. However, Dan Hilferty has been very vocal about his goals when it comes to the Flyers. So that, I think, is something that people want to hear. The goal of returning this franchise to... really relevance to start. If you want to start at the basic level, relevance would be the first thing, because I think a lot of people, that's been kind of a buzzword this year, is relevance and them not being that. So I think that's a good start. That's what people want to hear. They want to hear something, a guy that's dedicated to getting this team back to really the consistent playoff team that's going to be in the mix every year, like they were in the 90s, like they were for much of the 2000s. And then after 2010, I mean, things have really, outside of a few years and very few playoff series wins, things have come off the rails a little bit. And I think people are looking to get back to that. And we've heard John Tortorella say, do it the right way. Maybe this is the right way, or, you know, part of the right way. I really think it's going to come down to personnel with this team. It's going to come down to the hockey people doing hockey things. And I think that a change in the who's at the top is, it's a change, and it's a big one from a business perspective and an overall perspective. I'm not sure. I think it's a little piece of changing the product on the ice.
Yeah, when the team doesn't do well and you know, comes off of a 57 loss season, and fan frustration is really at like a peak, criticism is going to go everywhere, and ownership's part of it. And I think a lot of people among Flyers fans, they miss Ed Snyder, who founded the team, was an icon, was incredibly passionate about hockey. Dave Scott obviously had more of a business background and was not Ed Snyder. I don't think anyone was going to be Ed Snyder. So really, I don't think there's a problem with ownership for the Flyers. It's a hockey ops thing. They got to get things right in terms of drafting and developing more talent, being a team again that's worthy of going out and making splashes in the offseason. They need to make better hockey decisions. It's not an ownership problem. While this is kind of a new change, a new page for the Flyers, Dan Hilferty taking over, perhaps there could be some new vision and some new leadership style. But this is very much a business decision, and what it comes down to is making better hockey decisions.
Yeah, I mean,
the Flyers.
It doesn't matter who the owner was. If you were to put take an ideal owner, a hypothetical perfect owner of an NHL franchise, and you say to them, you're going to have a number two pick who pans out to nothing, essentially. You're going to overpay guys that just really don't live up to the contracts that they have. And you just put that in front of them. I mean, no owner is getting their way out of that. They're just not. It's very hard to recover from a top two pick not panning out. And it's really hard to navigate around big contracts that don't live up. The player doesn't live up to the contract that's in front of him, because the worst combination of things to be is up against the cap and not a good team. And that's, quite frankly, putting it kindly to what the Flyers have been the past few years, up against it, salary cap wise, and not a good team.
Yeah.
Now they were around the bubble playoffs. They seemed like they had found some things, and it just, you know, it didn't pan out. And I mean, I'm not going to, a lot of people have referred to those COVID seasons as like kind of fake seasons and make believe, and the divisions got changed and all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to go that far, but what I am going to say is this team that they're facing tomorrow night was in the Stanley Cup Finals that year. And really, they've been a disaster since. So I don't think that that bubble playoff was indicative of where those teams were in terms of their stature in the league, because outside of Tampa, you don't really see those teams that were in the mix that year. They're not like, it hasn't panned out for all those teams. I mean, you had the Arizona Coyotes in the mix, and you had, I mean, it's, There's some merit to the whole idea that that was a mirage type of season. So I don't know necessarily that the Flyers fit into that, because they had Carter Hart playing well, Giroux, Voracek, guys were playing well. So I'm not going to say that that was make-believe or anything like that. But what I am going to say is those guys got another year older. You had Matt Niskanen retire. You had a and I should mention, when I mentioned the ownership, the Ryan Ellis thing. I mean, I don't know that he was damaged goods when they got him, but I know it's played out like he was damaged goods. And it's another thing that's very hard to overcome. You just can't overcome paying out a big contract, making a trade, and having it literally pan out to four games on the ice. And this is what's going on with the Flyers over the last few years. And it's almost like when a team is in a rut, this kind of stuff finds that team. And I think it's found the Flyers. So it, as you said, it comes down to hockey operations. It comes down to player personnel, and it comes down to hockey people scouting and developing and those sorts of things. And in terms of those things, I'm not sure the guy on top, in this case, Dan Hilferty, has a whole lot to do with that. He's the guy at the top, but he's not tasked with finding the next great players, finding the next foundation of this team. That is left up to John Tortorella and presumably Danny Briere and the next president of hockey ops. So that's really where this thing is going to be, you know, it's make or break for this thing in those departments of this team.
The number one thing you want to see from ownership is probably investing. That's their job, is to invest resources to make the team better by putting people in charge that are going to do it. And you know, while people maybe, you know, while Dave Scott probably caught a lot of flack for not being Ed Snyder and maybe not, you know, storming down to the bowels of the arena to try to find the officials after a game, or getting into it with Gary Bettman, some stories that were, that made Ed Snyder who he is and a special person. They invested. Comcast has Spectacor, they invest. I mean, if you look at it, they have renovated the entire arena to make the fan experience better. And they have invested on hockey ops. They added positions to the analytics department. They added positions to the medical team. They have invested. They have put money in to make the team better. It comes down to people on the hockey ops sides making better decisions, adding more talent, being strategic in the way they add talent, the way they develop talent, and knowing when to make aggressive decisions, knowing when to value the long game. That's what it comes down to. So I really don't think it's an ownership problem. I thought today was interesting news. It was notable. Dave Scott moving on. He's going to retire. And Dan Hilferty taking over. While I find it notable, it really comes down to ownership putting the right resources in, the right people in charge, and those people making the right decisions to make the Flyers better.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about here. Yeah. Because let's be honest, if Danny Briere, the new president of hockey ops or whatever, however that plays out and what that becomes, and John Tortorella, if that group of people makes the right decisions, no one's going to be talking about Dan Hilferty. They're just not. I mean, if he puts himself out there and he's at games and he's cheering, they'll talk about him in that way. But nobody's going to be talking about – no one's going to be breaking down the job he's doing if the guys underneath him that are working in player personnel for this team are doing – like if they're getting their parts of the job right, nobody's going to be talking about Dan Hilferty in terms of hockey ops. And I think that is what everybody here is looking for. Everyone here is looking for that to be the case. And as I said, to get this team back to relevance, prominence, contending, being a playoff team, and being really one of the pillars in this NHL. I mean, when you hear the Canadian guys that cover this league and the insiders talk about the Flyers, they talk about them as NHL royalty. You can tell how they talk and how this franchise is viewed from, I don't want to say afar because it's not afar, but the people who value the sport the most know that the Flyers are a very valuable piece. I'm not trying to put down any teams, but it's not the Arizona Coyotes. It's not the San Jose Sharks. This is a, you know, they've been a pillar in this league for a long time now. And that's thanks to Ed Snyder. And the Flyers have to get back to really honoring and sort of paying forward the legacy that Snyder left with this team.
Flyers Talk is brought to you by Great Railing. Stop into Great Railing for the highest quality and lowest prices on all your railing, decking, and fencing needs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Joe, another big thing in Flyers land is they're winning again.
And scoring a lot of goals.
Things that we had not seen for months, wins and goals. And they're probably not doing it at the best time. That's fair to say. It was too little too late. So I think a lot of people are balancing, while it's nice to see young players producing and wins coming from it, at the same time, the Flyers are not helping their NHL draft lottery odds. And as we all know, the Flyers had a decent chance to, you know, be among the top seven, top five teams fighting for the best pick in the draft. The Flyers are 4-1-1 on this seven-game homestand. They got one more game left. They're scoring over four goals per game, and a lot of youth is pushing this. So I do think it's real positive for their rebuild that they're seeing young players look like pieces, and they're finding wins too. I mean, if some of these young players were just blending in and not scoring and the team was getting blown up by four or five, I'd be like, wow, maybe these young players aren't as good as some people were hoping, and the Flyers are looking in even more of a troubling state, but they're seeing some progress. How do you balance, Joe, in your mind, the wins and the positives on the ice with hurting the lottery chances?
Well, there's a couple things. If people need to realize that this is not the coach that is going to have a team tank. They're just not. He said it quite vehemently on a number of occasions this season. He's talked about it. He's talked about the letters he's gotten from the fans, and he's not interested in that. And he says that the players aren't interested in it either. And if you think about it, a lot of the players on this team are fighting for their own future. So why would they be interested in the tanking thing? Now, it's if you had your sights set on Connor Bedard or one of these top picks, that might not happen. It might, but the chances of it happening are definitely getting less with each win. And but you are seeing Cam York, and you're seeing some of these young guys really round into shape. And more importantly, which we may not be seeing ourselves, but the coaching staff hopefully is, they're deciphering, as we've heard John Tortorella talk about, who's not going to be here as well. And that is really what has to happen. I think that people need to put their trust in the people that are in charge. And right now, that's John Tortorella and Danny Briere. There was a lot of sort of venom and vitriol toward Chuck Fletcher. Well, he's not there anymore. So you need to put, because you really can't control it. I mean, at this point, they could lose every game for the rest of the season. They're not going to have the worst record. So I think you want to see building blocks. You want to see a team playing for a coach. So that can't be bad. And I think you're getting to see that Owen Tippett is a piece here. We're seeing that Cam York is going to be a piece here. Joel Farabee found his scoring. I mean, you can't have it both ways, because there were certainly a lot of complaints about Joel Farabee's season, and now he's playing well. And when guys like that start playing well, you start to win. You start to score goals. So you can't have them be awful and these guys play well all at the same time. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, maybe it's coming at the wrong time, but again, if you were happy with the hiring of John Tortorella, you can't be surprised by him not letting this team just bottom out. He doesn't do that. Look at his track record. Look at the rosters he's coached and where he's gotten them. His teams don't bottom out. They simply don't. He doesn't let them do it. And I think that is one of the traits of this coach that is admirable and one of the reasons they hired him here.
Yeah, and I mean, if the Flyers were going to seriously tank, they needed to do it before the season.
It needed to start way earlier than, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Three weeks ago.
Right, exactly. If you're embracing that and really wanting that, it starts well before now. And at this point, what are the Flyers going to do? Healthy scratch Owen Tippett? Healthy scratch Noah Cates?
And honestly, look, if you take a look, Jordan, at these teams that are all at the bottom of the league, they're all winning games recently, because the guys that are playing for them are going out there and playing with nothing to lose. They're taking smart risks, and in some cases, I can't claim to watch every team, but they're probably taking not smart risks, because really the outcomes of the games don't matter. But a lot of those teams, you're seeing Columbus win some games. You're seeing Arizona win some games. Really, the only team you haven't seen win games in this recent stretch is the Sharks, who now I believe have taken over the worst spot in the league.
Yes.
So I don't think you can claim any of these teams are tanking, because there's been a lot of teams winning games recently, a lot of teams playing teams close. I think that's a nice term that the fans throw around let's just tank. And quite frankly, with what some of the teams and other sports have done, especially in this town, it's a little too commonplace in sports now. Oh, we'll just tank to get the pick. You know, hockey's a little different. You can't go out there and not play, or you get yourself run through the glass.
Yeah.
Doesn't really happen in basketball. You can't do that in football. Baseball, who knows? But the draft in baseball is so different than other sports. And but that even that draft is trending toward these other sports. So I think it's an overblown topic that is not as real in the sport as it is talked about amongst the fan base.
Exactly. And players don't tank. And the people that tank are decision makers. They have to put the people on the ice that are going to give themselves the best opportunity to lose. And the Flyers have some decent players. They have some good young players that are playing right now with confidence. They have a decent makeup that is giving themselves a chance to win, especially when you have a goalie like Carter Hart in net. And for me, the Flyers weren't – they had a decent chance of sliding into the bottom five. I don't think they were going to slide into the bottom four. So I just really don't think they were ever getting Connor Bedard. I just don't. And last year, they had the fourth best odds going into the lottery. They had a 9.5% chance to get the number one overall pick. The Devils were the fifth worst team. They had the 8.5% chance. So the chances are so slim, even if you're fifth or fourth. And I really don't think they were going to get into the top three or the top two. They were not going to be the worst team in the league. So I just don't get I just don't get much out of like being mad that they're losing and wanting the best odds. Like they're still going to be in the bottom probably seven or eight. They're going to get a really good pick. And they should get a decent player. They should get a guy with upside. And that's what it's all about. But I really think it's really good progress to see these young players producing. Like Tyson Forster going out there, a kid who you think is going to be a major foundation piece, a kid with the best shot in the organization. He goes out there and essentially wins you a game against a playoff team. Like he goes out there and...
And it's his sixth game or his...
Seventh game, yeah. I believe it was.
Yeah.
And goes out there and just shows the biggest strength of his game, something that this organization has desperately needed, a guy that can beat a goalie with zero help, doesn't need a screen, doesn't need someone in front of the net, doesn't need someone finding him. Like, he just goes out there and wins a game with his shot. Like, that's a positive. That's like, wow, that kid could be something. He could be something for the future. And you're seeing it in meaningful moments. I mean, like, against a Wild team that's going to make the playoffs in the third period where pressure's on, they're trailing in the game, he goes out there and ties the game with a shot, they go on to win the game. That's a positive to me. Tyson Forster is going to feed off of that in the future. The Flyers are going to use it in the future. So if I'm picking one side of the coin of do I want them to lose or should you be more positive about the winning, I think it's positive about them showing some strides, seeing some progress from their kids, stuff that's going to hopefully carry over into next year. So that's where I stand.
To me, it's always tough to, there's one thing when the fan base knows that the team doesn't have a ton of talent and they're probably going to lose a lot. But on top of that, if you tell them they're going to lose, they're going to essentially try to lose on purpose. It's a really bad look. And you know, if you believe in karma, I don't think that's getting you any good karma. So that's another factor here. And, you know, we've heard it in this town. I mean, it was the cards were on the table when the Sixers did this. Now, yeah, they got some good players out of it. But has it panned out in the glory that everyone thinks it does? Not yet. I mean, it might, but it hasn't happened yet. I mean, it is not an instant fix, and by no means is it a guarantee. And I think that is where the way it's talked about is, let's flip the tanking switch, and then in a couple years, it's a guaranteed title. And it's not. It really isn't. If you look around all of sports, I don't know the teams that tanked that won a championship. I mean, who are they? Who are the guys? Who are the teams that won, you know?
Yeah. Well, honestly, not a lot of teams tank, because tanking is not only one, it has to be done before the season. But tanking is also not only moving out some veteran players with bigger contracts, but it's trading young pieces. It's trading young pieces to gain even more assets in terms of picks and being really, really bad. You just don't see a lot of teams trade a lot of their young prospects to totally, totally restart. And the Flyers had some young prospects that they liked. They wanted to build around them. They wanted to start playing them this season because they felt they bottomed out last year, and they very much did. They have 57 losses. They were very bad, and they felt this season was the year to kind of start building. They might not have been a playoff team this year, but they felt they could start building. I'm not going to argue with that approach. I felt they bottomed out last year. I felt they needed to play kids this year, and they actually made things interesting. Maybe that hurt their lottery odds, but I thought this was a good year to accept reality, start building around their kids, and I felt they've played a lot of their young players, and they've learned about some of them. Like Owen Tippett was a big one. Was he going to be a complimentary guy, or was he going to be like a top six player? He's looking like a top six player and a guy that you could potentially put some pieces around and see if he's a part of the solution. Catch all the sports action and more at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Whether it's the money line or the pass line, there's something for everyone, including a great sports book. Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Philly loves a winner. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah, Joe, if there's one young kid that's perhaps impressed you the most of this homestand, where they're really gaining steam on this homestand, it hasn't been a so-so homestand. It's been a very good one. One kid that's maybe caught your eye the most, who has it been?
To me, it's got to be Forrester. And the reason to me it's got to be Forrester is because he does veteran things, and he has the least game experience of anybody playing right now. And I'm not including guys that are in for the lineup and out, you know, but his shot, where he gets to on the ice, we saw it very early on, his instincts on the defensive end, the block he makes against when he dove in front of the shot. I forget what game that was.
Yeah, they kind of blend together at this point.
Yeah, so he dove in front of the shot because Hart was on the other side of the net with a play that was carrying on. So those are the kind of things you don't really see. You don't see young players, especially guys that are look to have a big offensive upside. You don't see them thinking about defense this early in their career. They just don't. They usually need to be coached up to start thinking about that end of the ice. I mean, you hear John Tortorella and coaches around the league say, in order for this guy to take the next step, they have to play a 200-foot game. This guy comes in and he's playing a 200-foot game from his first game in the league. And I think that is super impressive, along with his offensive skills. So, you know, to me, it's got to be him.
Forrester's a great one. I think he's really opened eyes in this audition. 7 points in 8 games. He's back with the Phantoms now for their playoff push. I'm not sure they could have asked a whole lot more from him. He got off to a bit of a slow start, then he turned it on. But you don't always see some of those kids, Joe, come up and make a splash early. And I mean, 7 points in 8 games, scoring goals, blocking shots. Like, he did a little bit of everything. I thought he made a splash when he came up here.
I mean, if you think about it, the number one pick in the draft last year was Shane Wright. He was up and he was down to the minors, and he struggled. Yeah. That was the number one pick. So, I mean, it's nothing about a draft pick is guaranteed. Nothing about a young player is guaranteed. And the chances are, I don't know this because I didn't see what Dave Haxtell said about it or Seattle's front office, but chances are Shane Wright was up and down and in and out of the lineup because of what he was doing on the defensive side of the ice, because that is usually what gets players out of the lineup. And I mean, everyone knew the book on Shane Wright going into the draft, and he was not able to stay for his first full NHL season. So to me, that is where you look and you say, okay, well, what's missing from a lot of young players' games? And it's usually on the defensive side. And right from the get-go with Forrester, we've seen him on the noticeable on the defensive side. And to me, that's a big thing.
Yeah, you really impressed a coach like John Tortorella, who values defense immensely. And he did a lot of things in terms of holding on to the puck, showing poise and a willingness to defend. Not easy to do with a coach like John Tortorella to win a guy over with not just your shot and your offense, but also your defense. For me, Joe, I think it's also Owen Tippett, a hat trick on this homestand, a guy that consistently looks like the best player on the ice for the Flyers. He's driving his line, and I wasn't sure about that when they acquired him in the Claude Giroux trade. I wasn't sure if he was a guy that was going to drive his line. I thought maybe he'd be a complimentary piece.
I don't think any of us were sure, right?
No.
I mean, none of us said this guy's going to be a power forward and a top six forward and one of the big, you know, building pieces toward the future. I don't think anyone said that.
Yeah. And Carter Hart, too, for me, he's backboned a lot of these wins. He's been incredible on the homestand. He's 4-0, so he's won 4 of the 6 games so far, and very much just looking like the guy in net. And now there might be some debate about whether the Flyers should be willing to maybe use him as an asset. Like, will he be at his peak when the Flyers are winning again? Should they trade him while he's in his prime? All that fun stuff. But regardless, him playing well is a good sign, because either he's going to be a really good asset for you if you want to try to cash in on him, or he's very much the goalie of the future and the guy that will be in net when the Flyers are winning again, whenever that is. So Carter Hart looking really good, and Owen Tippett too, to me, taking massive strides. Two young players, 24 years old each, looking like major pieces.
Yeah, I think you've almost seen Carter Hart. It's almost like he heard some of the chatter about, oh, maybe we should trade him. And he said, oh, okay, well, I'll just show you why you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Why I'm a building block. And Owen Tippett, we've talked about. I mean, it's really, again, I've said this on this podcast before. Chuck Fletcher's taken a lot of heat for the things, the moves that he made, the contracts that he gave out. That's one that you don't hear talked about that he should get credit for, because he got pigeonholed in the Claude Giroux situation to send him to Florida and to get this return. You have to hand it to him. That was a big haul for your captain. You're one of the best players in franchise history, so he has to get credit for that. And I should mention, I misspoke. Shane Wright was the fourth pick in the draft last year. He was the most talked about player going into the draft, but storyline last year was that he was falling past those top three picks.
Yes.
But nevertheless, he was the fourth pick in the draft. He was probably the most talked about player going into that draft, and he hasn't stayed in the NHL all year. So you really never know if a player is mature enough to play in the league, and has nothing to do with their offensive skills. And it almost always has to do with their responsibility at the other end of the ice and not being a liability out there. And quite frankly, in these lesser leagues, players don't always learn that part of the game like they do at the NHL level. And when you're in the NHL level, if you're lacking in some of the areas on the defensive end, it's going to get exposed quickly. The coaches are too good. The players are too good for that not to be exposed. So I wanted to clear that up.
No, I completely understand what you mean. He was the headliner of that draft in many people's eyes, and he was still a top four pick that struggled to stay in the NHL early on. Forster obviously was the 23rd overall, I believe, in his draft. It's still a young kid, and was able to come up here and actually hold his own, not look like out of place or anything like that. So some positive signs.
And Forrester's had some time to develop.
Sure.
So that's not always a bad thing. This day and age in sports, there's this immediacy that everybody wants. We want that guy. We want him in the majors right away. And the NHL, you know, the NFL, you don't really worry about that.
Yeah.
Even baseball now, you're seeing guys that used to spend 4 and 5 years in the minor leagues, and now it's like, if they're the second year after they're drafted, it's like, okay, let's get them up to – everything's about immediacy. Guys aren't always ready for immediacy. And I think we're seeing here with Forrester and the stuff that I mentioned, some of that time in the minor leagues, it does pay off. And really – if you bring a guy up and they struggle in the NHL in a down season for a team, what are they getting out of it? They might be learning, but let's just say, everything else aside, if Forrester was up last year for the Flyers, what would he have learned? He would have been a bad team, a historically bad season, a coach got fired, was replaced by an interim coach, and a coaching staff that is no longer here. So you could argue more harm could have been done if he was to play here last year. So,
yeah, that's the one. That's the one glaring thing I noticed that's different from this year to last year. Is one, they are better. They're more competitive. That's, you can even just look at the point and win total from last year to this year. But they're giving their kids a better environment to potentially develop and learn. And that's important to me.
Right. And I don't think any of these kids are wondering if this coach or this assistant or any of the, if they're going to be here next year.
Right.
And that's a big deal. Consistency is a big deal for young players. We see careers come off the rails because guys don't have coaching, and that's across sports. I mean, how many times do you hear it with quarterbacks in football? Well, they've had three different offensive coordinators. Yeah. I mean, it's not as under a microscope as in hockey and other sports, but I think the same can be said. When the guys behind the bench and the guys in the training room and the guys you're working with every day, position coaches are changing nonstop. It's really hard to grab any consistency with your game. And I think that is what we're seeing with Forrester. And I think it's the benefit we're seeing of him playing in the minor leagues.
10 games left for the Flyers in this season. Everyone knows there's not going to be playoffs, but the Flyers are starting to make some strides here, and we'll see how it impacts their NHL draft lottery odds, how many more games they can win, which kids can stand out some more and maybe punctuate their seasons and really their audition in front of John Tortorella and management. But a lot to watch and a lot to evaluate. We'll have it all right here on Flyers Talk Podcast. Joe Fordyce, thank you so much. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk Podcast presented by Great Railing. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen. And we can't wait to talk to you next time.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.